The French captain, Captain Verne, is happy to take us to Brazil. And passengers, though he warns, it's a perilous long journey. We stop only once at the Canary Islands. Cast off. Once the cargo of cotton fabric and the main cargo of filthy coal. Three of us in two cabins, a double for me and my husband, Professor Jenkins, and sickly wife, myself. The maidservant, Kitty Barnett, has the cabin next to us. I do not intend to show myself and wear a veil as thick as possible, the custom for ladies who are unwell. I hear mumbles from some of the crew. Just as I board, walking up the gangplank, one scruffy sailor points and says, "Women are always bad luck. I hope he's not catching." The foreman clips him round the ear and says, "There are to be no discussions, oaf. If she is sickly but not diseased, the captain will know. Don't insult them or you'll lose this job before we've left port and you'll swim home." I'm glad to be straight in the cabin. I'm too tired to do anything but sleep. You almost leave, so Kitty may attend me. But before you go up to discuss our course with the captain, I tell you again and hold and kiss your hand. I'm so grateful to you. We will get out of this, won't we, Mr. Jenkins. That's what I should call you, isn't it, now? Oh, do you think we'll pass for man and wife? For the purposes of our journey, I must call you Reginald Jenkins. And you lean in and kiss my hand in return, gesturing towards your crotch. You explain that the affliction is something many men would treasure having. And you give me a sly wink. You're off to see the captain, and you hope that Kitty and I will be all right here. "Please try not to get aroused," you ask me. "We are on a ship, so any extra weight will be noticed. And because I'm a woman, you feel sure that I'll be checked on constantly." You gesture towards my swollen teats, and those need to be kept. No one must notice them. And with a huff, you leave the room to discuss things with the captain. The captain asks you about my attire, and you have to tell him that I'm both in mourning and sick, that my mother died in the Americas, and I'm going there to pay my last respects. You tell the captain I'm in a great deal of pain, and to warn the sailors that I may well moan in the night, and it is not something they should be afraid of. This is quite a good cover-up, for I know not if I'll be able to contain myself. Not now, I can smell all the different men aboard ship. and there is nowhere to hide. My senses alert, sensitive. Oh, I can't last much longer. I will need you again tonight. The sea air at first makes me sleep, but when I awake to the sound of men shouting to one another, I feel my aching need again. My nightgown is being sewn by Kitty. It barely fits, but it's too early to call her as I lay naked. Besides, I can lay and smell the men. I look and see you have slept next to me in your nightshirt. I reach down under the bed covers, pushing them away to find your nightshirt hem as you sleep. I gently bring up the fabric so that I may see if you are hard. I cannot resist my hunger for you. My body pulses. I lean towards you. My heavy breast falls on your arm. I already have my face close enough to kiss your naked side. You turn, waking as I grasp your cock and point it to my mouth. I suckle you earnestly and with relish. And you whisper for me to be quiet. But all I can think of is your orgasm and your seed. You're wide awake now and gasp to be deep throat, down my hot throat. Seeing my need and hearing my whimpers, hungry, you turn and gently push me off. You push my shoulders back and see my legs moving, and I open them for you. You know what I need. You kiss my mouth and kneel between my legs, pulling off your shirt, and I see you in the half light, your chest and that thickening cock making me moan with desire. You lick up some milk. I'm too aroused to remember to warn you not to suckle. I'm just so full of fucking need. I pull you closer and you press your cock to my wet slit and push easily in. I'm so aroused and wet, and you are now rock hard. But I can't help moaning. And you moan low and as quiet as you can, but you suckle, and I feel your cock growing, stretching me, deepening right to my hot core. It makes me whimper and beg. And as you drink more, and I feel you fill me, thrusting as I gasp and enjoy the feeling, my lover. Gasping, enjoying the feeling of you. Throb after throb, you groan as you do it. A shudder. And I feel my legs straighten and my toes point, arms holding you to me, my breasts so large now. You stop kissing me, but cushion you, cushioned on those thoroughly wet, sweat, and my heart beating so fast as I orgasm and waves of pleasure flow through me, pleasure and relief. Oh, oh, oh. You pull out to find that your cock just keeps coming and coming, and is longer and thicker. You watch my opening pussy slowly retract. Lots of cum flows from me, dribbling as my lips close together, sealing again. You clean your cock and wash, getting dressed, as I lay panting, and you gently replace the covers over my waist. But I ask you to call Kitty and help with my milk. Kitty has already brought me a large bowl. She saw that my swollen breasts were worse and blushed. And I sit in my armchair without a top while we attempt to alleviate the heavy milk. Then Kitty takes it on deck to be thrown over the side. The crew, they had fallen silent. They knew we were having sex. Little did they know we were also saving our lives from this curse. No one dares to say a word to you when you are seen later on deck, and you tell Kitty that my food is to be brought to my room. There's no disguising that I'm getting taller and larger with each day. We've got to keep it secret for as long as possible. Who knows what will happen on a ship full of men. So a week into the journey, we spend our evenings reading my husband's notebooks, and I listen as we discuss ideas. Kitty sits and tries to sew extra fabric to everything I have brought with me. Unfortunately, too many times her hard work stitching is ripped. We need to understand what is happening to us. She's constantly repairing garments, but Kitty listens too. Though I shrink back a little, now I'm almost 7 feet tall. Kitty milks my breasts whenever they are under pressure, and you help sometimes. Though we have to dismiss her, we both wake with an urgent need to satisfy the aches, our cravings. I have grown each time we have intercourse, though your cock is a similar size and no longer filling my pussy. I think you should sup on me and suckle again. You smile, knowing it pleasures me, but wondering if it's a good idea. No, really, you haven't for nearly a week, and I think it's what makes you grow. Unless it's too uncomfortable for you. What if I asked one of the ship's officers to drink? I mean, Kitty could ask the cook to make a milk pudding. And I'm beginning to outgrow you. You might prefer a rest. You just laugh at me. My feeble attempt to cover the fact I'd love more men. I'm no longer a shy Englishwoman, but this needful, primitive part of me is coming forward with every day. Every day I change. Every day this spell on me is worse. Not only that, but my belly is swelling. It's a dome shape now. I'm definitely pregnant. As we read, there are definitely more references to these islands near Samoa and Fiji and the goddess there of fertility, known to have given birth to many children. I think he tried to turn me into such a creature that somehow he found. Oh, what's to become of me, please? We must get there. If I get too large, I'm sure that people will fear me. I'm sure I'll end up slain. Oh God, so scared sometimes. And then it overtakes me. And all I can do is feel what I feel. All I can do is grow and ache and need this dread that comes over me, this terrible dread. But then, that night, I hear the men reveling, the sailors having a drink, they're singing and they're boisterous, and I can hear their laughter. It makes me boil. My clothes tense, my body, oh, this pain, this tension, oh, I can feel everything growing again and again. I need you. Where are you? You're not in the cabin. Where are you? Oh. 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 Growing. Oh. My clothes. They can't. Oh. Oh. Kitty, come to your mistress, I need you. Kitty, oh. Instead of Kitty, you come into the room. I need you. Another bout is...
Come here. Come here. I can't stand it. My clothes are ripping. Everything's growing. My boobs flow over my clothing. Pouring. Help me. Help me now. Now. Oh.
You attempt to relieve my breasts. You attempt to milk them. But I grab you and pull you towards me. I want you. And I'm so strong. I press you on the bed and climb over you, ripping your clothes off this time. Scent of your body. I'll rub myself over you, crushing you. And you cry out with pain. I don't know my own strength, but I've got to rub against you. I have to rub my pussy, my clit. It's so swollen, it's so large. I'm possessed with it. I've got to have it. Oh, no, I punt. I can hardly breathe. The weight of my breasts, the bones creaking of me, growing. Oh! Enormous, each breast as big as a sack. Each swollen, hard, giant nipple as big as a man's fist. You can't latch on even if you want to. They're too large, too tense. Save my life, please. Help me. You push me and I manage to lay myself back. But I can't breathe. The weight. Something. And I faint and fall with a big crash. The end of the bed breaking under my weight. Kitty comes in. Oh, the missus. And you both attempt to relieve the pressure in my breasts, the milk pouring from me, and finally, as it's released, the pressure allows me to take a breath again. I look up at you. I see the frightened look on Kitty's face. I stare as it dawns on me I may well be with child. Oh, sir, the day you first found me wanting, so wanting, and helped me and saved my life. I know I grow more fertile each day we fuck. And you said ova were released. I'm in no doubt now that I grow with your child. And I blush at our sin. But I still have the urges as I watch you. And calm comes over us as both of us feel my body aware, and I get the warmth from the touches, and my legs open for you, even with Kitty in the room watching. Please, please examine me, look and see. See if my quim is bluer. The red lips will be bluer and swollen. And you pull back the remnants of the clothing, the covers, to see my swelling tummy.
You push apart the patch of fur with your fingers to see the glistening slit. I see you breathe in and your nose flares the nostrils. As you take in a deep breath and my scent pervades the cabin, you begin to look like a man possessed again for a moment, and I feel your touch examining me. Naked and trembling to be satisfied again. Kitty cries out, "Mistress!" And your head falls between my legs as you kiss and lick me, and I faint away again. The lust, all of it, no shame even before our maid. It's all too much. All too much. Oh. Unconscious I may be. So you turn to Kitty and tell her that I may well be with child, and that's why you're examining me. But Kitty wants to leave. Kitty's unsure of what to do. And you beg her to stay and bring those bowls. When Kitty turns to see where the bowls were from before, she can't find them. She'd put them by the door to take upstairs. Master, I don't know where the bowls of milk have gone. That's when we realise they've been stolen.